Good morning. It is 8 o'clock sharp. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Ted Woodward. Steve McIntosh has the day off. John Whitmer is with us live in studio today. It is Friday, August 29th. Coming up, we'll be taking a look at the holiday travel for the weekend.
Wichita woman found guilty of killing her son. I'm Dan O'Neill.
Currently in Wichita, we have 96% humidity, cloudy sky. It is 67 degrees here on this Friday morning. Travel breaking records all summer long, and the Labor Day weekend expected to be busy as well. Sean Stewart with AAA Kansas says nearly 90% of travelers will be driving to their destinations.
Here in Kansas, we are currently at $2.87 a gallon on average, about 20 cents less than a year ago. And that puts us at 10th lowest average gas price in the country.
In Wichita, the average price per gallon is $2.90, slightly higher than the state average, although prices across the state are lower than this time last year.
Today marks the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina's devastation of the Gulf Coast region. Fox's Tanya J. Powers with the story.
Hurricane Katrina is blamed for the deaths of almost 1,400 people and $125 billion in damage. It made landfall on August 29, 2005, near New Orleans as a Category 3 hurricane with a massive storm surge. President George W. Bush called it one of the worst natural disasters in our nation's history.
The vast majority of New Orleans, Louisiana is underwater.
The Louisiana Superdome became a temporary shelter as well as a symbol for the challenges in the storm's aftermath.
You know, it's really bad. You know, I mean, they got disease in there. They got dead bodies. The bathrooms, we haven't used it since, like, Tuesday.
Ceremonies are planned across New Orleans and South Mississippi to observe the anniversary. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A Wichita woman who admitted to shooting and killing her son last October pleads no contest to the charges in court.
47-year-old Tisha Florence was charged with second-degree murder, aggravated assault, and aggravated robbery. Police say that she shot her 16-year-old son Robert at her apartment near Harry and Webb during an argument about getting ready for school. Sentencing was set for October 17th. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Kansas Senator Jerry Moran hosted federal, state, and local law enforcement officials in Garden City yesterday for a roundtable to discuss the region's challenges. The coveted topics... such as organized crime, drugs, and human trafficking. During the roundtable, the Drug Enforcement Administration announced its commitment to increase the number of agents in the Garden City area. Senator Moran said that his goal is to hear directly from officers and sheriffs how Congress can better support local law enforcement.
The deaths from Legionnaire's disease in New York City still on the rise.
Health officials announcing there's been a seventh death in the outbreak of Legionnaire's disease in central Harlem. There have been a total of 114 confirmed cases in the area, and six of the patients remain hospitalized. Legionnaire's is a bacterial disease, a severe form of pneumonia, transmitted through inhaling contaminated water droplets from sources like cooling towers, hot tubs, or decorative fountains. Scientists are working to figure out which cooling towers are making people sick in Harlem. In New York, Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Caldwell, Kansas, in Sumner County, is the ornate box turtle capital of the world. The story designation dates back to 1986, when a sixth grade class in Caldwell realized that the state of Kansas did not have a state reptile. Now, Caldwell is celebrating its heritage and their history with 12 turtle sculptures around the city. The project was funded by the Public Arts Grant announced by the Kansas Arts Commission. The project was open to public submissions and had over 20 artists of all ages send in designs. The top 12 designs were voted on by the public. The city began installing the turtles last October, and they've become incredibly popular. The 12 turtles can be found on the Turtle Trail. Each turtle has its own unique name and design. A map of the Turtle Trail can be found on the wall outside the Caldwell Grocery Store, and pamphlets with more information are inside City Hall.
A sound from yesteryear and how we used to communicate with each other. And California is trying to find a way to pay for all that high-speed train traffic they're going to have, maybe. And, of course, our full weather forecast is on the way as well on this Friday morning heading into the Labor Day weekend. KNSS News Time is 8:05. 8:08 with Steve and Ted in the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Now, one of the original methods of how we connected to the Internet, officially going away tomorrow.
Who still uses a dial-up Internet connection? AOL, once called America Online, is officially shutting down the last of its dial-up connection nodes after tomorrow. There was a time when your internet connection wasn't constant or even always available. You needed a landline phone. AOL's dial-up service has been in operation for 34 years. While dial-up internet today seems quaint, U.S. Census data shows about 160,000 Americans still use it to get online. Eben Brown, Fox News.
California is exploring new ways of funding their high-speed rail project.
The project has ballooned from an initial $33 billion in total cost to a projected $128 billion and is years behind its original 2020 completion date. Now, California's high-speed rail project is getting hit with more funding cuts from Washington. After terminating $4 billion in funding in July, the Federal Railroad Administration is now pulling out of four additional projects related to the high-speed rail line, clawing back more than $175 million in the process. Questions remain to how the state will pay for the soaring costs. Potential revenue streams being proposed include selling off excess power from planned solar arrays along the tracks, developing real estate around train stations, and allowing freight service to use the tracks during off-peak hours.
That's Fox Business's Max Gordon with that report. It's 8:10 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area is still pretty heavy out there. Usually we start to see things calming down just a little bit, but we've still got some fairly heavy traffic out there. Stalled out vehicle northbound I-135 at 37th Street North. Watch for a slowdown there. We also have a slowdown northbound I-235, a stalled out vehicle, and it's pretty close to the ramp from Meridian down in southwest Wichita. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Jed Chambers.
And a look at our weather forecast heading into Labor Day weekend. Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Beware the fog on your Friday morning, otherwise mostly cloudy skies and a high of 75. Lots of clouds and 65 tonight. Mostly cloudy on Saturday, high 77. There is a small chance of an afternoon shower or storm. Unfortunately, there is a better chance of storms on Sunday morning and again Sunday afternoon. In between, it's a high of 76. Labor Day looks dry. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Currently in Wichita, we have 96% humidity, a cloudy sky, 67 degrees. Here at Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather is brought to you by The Monarch. Don't forget, live acoustic music on the patio every Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock. With the weather the way it is now, got to get to that patio. Take advantage of that, man. The Monarch, yeah, 579 West Douglas at the roundabout in Delano. What a great place to hang out, The Monarch. Busy Labor Day weekend. Lots of things to do. Let's get a rundown from Jamel Holoperic at Visit Wichita.
Hey, guys, it's Friday. Woohoo, we made it to Friday. Hope you're having a great morning, Steve and Ted. Hey, we have the Beatles and the Stones, 8 p.m. Saturday, Century 2. Music fans, this one is for you. It's the Beatles versus the Stones. That's going to be a good time. Tickets start at about $55. If you love music, this is the place to be. 8 p.m. Century 2 on Saturday night. We also have the Hatch Green Chili Fest. This is Saturday at both Johnson's Garden Centers. Marty is ready for you. It's at the East and West locations, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. both days on Saturday and Sunday, celebrating the famous New Mexico Hatch Green Chilies. And you'll find those, I mean, you guys, in everything from tacos to ice cream. Again, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Go check it out. Good times. And then we have the Wichita Wind Surge. They are going to be playing Equity Bank Park Stadium, of course, such a great location and a fun time. Beautiful stadium. They'll be playing the Arkansas Travelers this weekend. Get your tickets. And Shocker Volleyball playing at Charles Koch Arena Friday night at 7 p.m. and then again on Sunday at 1 p.m. And on Sunday, they'll be taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks. So a lot happening in Wichita. Go have fun and enjoy it. We'll talk to you later, guys.
Thank you, Jamel. Every Friday morning right here with Steve and Ted. And, of course, every Sunday evening on KNSS, we have the John Whitmer Show. And another great show on tap Sunday night, I would assume.
Yeah, we should be. This is going to be kind of fun. I'm looking forward to one of my favorite senators, other than our senators, Senator Ted Cruz, will be actually who can be heard right here on KNSS on Saturdays, right after my show is rebroadcast on Saturdays. And then you've got Ted Cruz has his own show right here on KNSS at 3 o'clock, but we'll have him on Sunday night with me. So be kind of fun.
Very
to
good,
have
yeah.
Senator Ted Cruz with us.
So. He's always right in the middle of everything that's going
on.
He
is. And, you know, people who may not remember, but he actually won Kansas's primary back in 2016.
Yeah.
I was a delegate for Ted Cruz, actually. And so it'll be interesting just to talk with him. I'm looking forward to having him on the show. And we actually have a former co-chair of the Republican National Convention coming on the show, so we'll talk a little bit about what's going on in D.C. politics a little bit, and of course we'll take calls, so should be kind of fun. So looking forward to yet another good Sunday evening. I lots of time on the radio this week. So
once again, that'll be 7 o'clock, as it is.
Sunday night.
Sunday night, right here with Steve and Ted on KNSS. All right, thank you, and be sure to tune into the John Whitmer Show Sunday night at 7 o'clock. It is 8:15 with Steve and Ted here on KNSS. And that means it is time, after 5 weeks, for the final preseason report, live with the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, as we welcome him in one more time in the preseason. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning, Theodore, and good morning, John Paul Jones.
See, and I came up with a nickname for you. We're calling you Mitchell.
Mitchell, well, that's original. I like that. What you're doing
hey,
with that.
I had to come up with something.
No, I know you hired a research firm to do that.
I did.
So
his name's Chad.
Very good. Or if my mom was still around, all you had to do is call her, and then that would have done it.
Hey, be careful!
Just gave chills down my spine because when I heard that, I knew that it wasn't good.
Be careful, or I'm going to ask you to weigh in on the Micah Parsons trade.
I'll let the Cowboy fans mourn this morning. Oh gosh, it's just the opposite of what we have going on. Let me just put it that way.
Hey, great news for us as far as I'm concerned.
Mitch, after 5 weeks, what is our credit union situation this morning?
Oh, Credit Union of America, CUA. And they've been a staple for a long, long time. They're amazing in what they do, and they're one of our six credit unions. You saw them. They were there the other night at Chicken and Pickle. Terrific group and terrific leaders. So this morning, as we close out our training camp reports going all the way back to July 28th, we close it out with Credit Union of America. But you can go to them, cuofamerica.com/mortgage. /John/mortgage. So get that down.
After
Steve,
five.
That's one of Steve's favorite things.
Oh, yeah. After 5 weeks, what do we know about the Chiefs and what do we not know and still need to find out?
Yeah, excellent question. I told you, too, that roster gymnastics would continue. And with the suspension of Rashee Rice for the first six games of the year, Robert Tonyan, who was originally cut, and that led to crashes and wailing and gnashing of teeth all throughout Wichita because he was arguably our best offensive player in the three preseason games, is indeed on the 53-man roster now. And with the position opening up with the suspension, Robert goes there and will be very good at tight end. He's the newest version of the Belldozer, the Bell family out there, tip of the cap to our Bishop Carroll player. But anyway, what we know is that this is a talented roster. This is a much better team than walked off the field in New Orleans in February. There's more speed on this team. There's more chances for a regular play to turn into a big play. We think of explosiveness as the Wasp, jet chip Wasp. And yet explosiveness and real explosive football teams can take the mundane play and make it a big play. and this Chiefs team has the propensity to do that. The concern on offense would be, it's obvious, what happens, especially at the left side of the offensive line. Josh Simmons looks like he's their deal, but how does Kingsley Suamatia hold up? And can the Chiefs be good in the red zone? Can they cash in there? For on the defensive side, it would be that if, and I told you early on, first week of camp, if you get the right group of pass rushers in there, and Leo Chanel now is involved in this, if you get the right group, they can be unstoppable. This will be the best pass rush group the Chiefs have had since Derek Thomas and Neil Smith. Kid you not. And it's not just players, it's the scheme. So it's really good. Now, the concern is rushing defense. I know that doesn't sound very sexy, but giving up 408 in the first two preseason games and just being roughshod over, Mike Pinnell not being on this team is caused a lot of concern. But we get Derek Nnadi back from the Jets to be a two-gap plugger. Also concern at corner, really, really thin at corner. And we still don't know if Christian Fulton is what's he got, the former Charger, former Titan. Right now, it feels like Trent McDuffie and everybody else. The safeties are good. The corners, we got to wait and see. Special teams. The strength is I think the Chiefs can actually dominate with the new dynamic kickoff and kickoff return. They're very good at it. They were good in the preseason. I've seen what they've done all offseason with it. The concern would be Matt Araiza is can he flip the field in the least? And I'll go back to defense, get off the field in third and long. The Chiefs must flip the field this year, Ted and John. They've got to do a better job of creating opportunities with their special teams outside of the kick and kickoff return. That's a long answer, and not that I've thought about it, but that's what we got with this team. This team is good. They will challenge. Division's better. Yep, got it. So are the Chiefs. AFC's rough, but it's been rough. We played the toughest schedule for 6 years in a row, and I don't want to be big at bad and bold, but okay, we've done this. Let's do it again, and that's where I'm at.
1 week from tonight, a season opener so big that it can't even be played in this hemisphere, the Chiefs and the Chargers in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and I assume that the logistics of doing all that is just gargantuan.
Right before I went on the air with you, as you say that, I'm getting bombarded with more emails of more logistics that have to be taken care of. Hope everybody enjoys their Labor Day weekend. Mine is going to be taken care of being on Zoom calls and these logistics calls with the NFL and our team. It's really kind of complicated. The game is so big, we might just play it in four different South American countries, meaning we'll play a quarter in Brazil, then we'll go to Argentina, then, I don't know, Bolivia, and then finish the fourth quarter in Chile. So kind of a more narrow field, but let's go. But, yes, this is now the bizarre world of the NFL. It's what we've got. It's what we're living in.
And, of course, getting after it again, trying to get to another Super Bowl is just, mm-hmm. like you've talked about, this organization, it's tough, but this organization seems built for it.
What's crazy, and I just want everybody to know it, we're living, think of the Yankees of the 1950s. That's what we're living here.
Yeah.
This is a decade of and I mentioned the other night at Chicken and Pickle, when the Chiefs right now are the winningest team. Take MLB and the NBA, winning percentage over a 10-year period, the Chiefs are number one.
Yeah.
Like, what planet are we on? I guess we're going to South America. We're on Earth. But the point is here, this is truly a golden age, and it's not being done in Dallas, evidently, or Houston or L.A. or New York. It's right here. It's right under our nose. It's Wichita, Kansas, and Sedgwick and Douglas and everything else. Like, so it's just amazing that we're in this realm. We attack it, enjoy it. These are unique, special people. I try to make you guys feel you're at camp every day and try to get you inside. This is what the Kingdom Series has done. But I've tried to do this to get you a little closer to these players and try to understand them, because this is a really unique position that we're in with this team and with these specific individuals.
As these preseason visits, we've been doing them for a couple of decades now, and it's once again we had 5 weeks this year to get us extra ready for the season. We certainly appreciate your time every day to bring us these great updates and insights into this Chiefs organization in this golden era. And from now on, we'll be visiting with you every Friday morning, getting ready for the weekend's games. So we're looking forward to it, and we thank you for your preseason reports for the last 5 weeks.
And thanks to our 6 credit unions. I know today we're CUA, Credit Union of America. We're featuring it. And John, get this down. CUofAmerica.com/mortgage.
Gotcha. Forward slash. Yeah, I'm on it.
Forward slash. Just put it in your soul. The no, Ted, it's awesome. And Wichita is a kingdom hotbed, and it's never been more so. But, yeah, we'll attack it. We'll do ploppers every Friday. I got some good stuff cooked up. We'll work on some more, and we'll head to Brazil. And I'll get another 15 Zoom calls between now and 10 o'clock to try to figure all this out.
All right, getting ready for Head for Brazil. As we bid you adieu, we say, fly safe, Mitch.
Thank you, Theodore. If I knew it in Portuguese, I'd rip it up.
All right, there he goes. It's the end of our 5 weeks of preseason daily visits with the Kansas City Chiefs, with the play-by-play voice of Chiefs Mitch Holtis. Our final chat today was brought to you by Credit Union of America. It is 8:24 with Steve and Ted on KNSS. Coming up, federal vocabulary guidelines. The Sean Hannity Morning Minute is next. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Good morning. It is 8:32. You are listening to 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It is Friday, August 29th. Currently in Wichita, 96% humidity, a cloudy sky. It is 67 degrees here on this Friday morning.
New details about the shooter who fired into a crowd of school children during Mass at a Catholic church in Minneapolis Wednesday, killing 2 children and injuring 18 other people.
Officials say the suspect had a fixation on violent school shooters and had a deep obsession with wanting to kill young, innocent children. The 23-year-old shooter was a former student whose mother once worked at the church. The shooter was born a male but filed for a name change at just 17 years old with parental approval. Officials say that shooter left multiple anti-religious references in his manifesto and written on firearms. That manifesto expressing a deep hatred toward almost all groups and people, including African Americans, President Trump, and Jewish people.
That's Fox's Brooke Taylor reporting from Minneapolis.
The White House calling on leaders in Illinois to ask for the federal government to send in law enforcement following President Trump's suggestion he might deploy the National Guard to Chicago.
While officials in Chicago argue that violent crime in the Windy City is down about 13% so far this year, the White House counters that for 13 straight years, it's actually led the nation in murders and has seen more illegal handguns recovered than L.A. and New York City combined. Border Czar Tom Holman confirmed that immigration enforcement will be ramped up in so-called sanctuary cities like Chicago, and that a military base outside the city has been asked to prep for potential ICE operations.
That's Fox's Kevin Cork with that report from the nation's capital.
The Trump administration has determined the Denver Public Schools District has violated federal law by creating gender-inclusive restrooms. Fox's Tom Rigott explains.
The Education Department says the district violated the Title IX anti-sex discrimination law with the co-ed bathrooms, which allowed students at East High School to use the restroom corresponding with their gender identity. Their investigation began after the school district converted a girls' room into an all-gender restroom while leaving another bathroom on the same floor exclusively for boys. The district later added a second all-gender restroom on the same floor to address claims of unfairness. The education department wants the restrooms converted back to gender exclusive within 10 days or risk unspecified enforcement actions. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
The Trump administration has launched about 24 investigations of transgender policies in schools. Roughly half of the investigations focus, at least in part, on who gets to use bathrooms in some K-12 school districts in 4 states, including here in Kansas.
.850 with Steve and Ted here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Local business update from the Wichita Business Journal with editor Kirk Seminoff is coming up. Now, Steve and Ted, it's time for 3 big things. today, marking the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina and its devastating, deadly flooding in the Gulf Coast region.
Two.
Labor Day weekend, 90% of travelers are driving to their destinations.
One.
A lot of college football. KU is home tonight. And then tomorrow evening, home openers for Kansas State and 12th-ranked Friends. And the season opener for 13th-ranked Butler Community College. That's all tomorrow. Three Big Things with Steve and Ted, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Continue to avoid the area where we've got a traffic accident. Southbound I-135, and it is between Lincoln and Harry. We are seeing some slower traffic behind that traffic accident there. Again, southbound I-135 between Lincoln and Harry. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, I'm Chad Chambers.
And our weather forecast heading into the Labor Day weekend, mostly cloudy today, tonight, and tomorrow. Some fog this morning, high of 75 degrees. Overnight low tonight down to 65. And tomorrow on Saturday, high 77. On Sunday, partly sunny, high 76, with a 40% chance for showers and thunderstorms. And then on Labor Day on Monday, mostly sunny and a high of 80. Currently in Wichita, 96% humidity, a cloudy sky at 67 degrees. At Wichita's Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather is brought to you by The Monarch and on live acoustic music on the patio at The Monarch every Friday and Saturday night starting at 8 p.m. Good stuff, especially with weather like this. The Monarch, 579 West Douglas at the roundabout in Delano. What a great place to hang out, The Monarch. Stock market is open for the day ahead of the Labor Day weekend. Not good so far. The NASDAQ is down 0.75%, and the S&P 500 is down 0.5% already on the day. Now it's time to get a local business update from editor Kirk Seminoff at the Wichita Business Journal. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Ted. Wichita State University's nursing school will have the name of one of the city's two largest health systems at the front of it. The Ascension Via Christi Wichita State University School of Nursing is the new name after Via Christi made a donation to the university announced Thursday. The goal of the donation is to address the growing workforce needs of the healthcare industry. How much was the donation? Well, Via Christi requested the amount not be made public. The school will be housed in the downtown biomedical campus upon completion in 2027. As part of the donation, Wichita State will expand its reduced tuition offer that was previously offered to Via Christi employees looking to become associate degree nurses. Now the reduced tuition will be offered to all Via Christi employees. The feedback opportunities are over for Wichitans on the Downtown Action Plan that aims to create the next vision for downtown. And Downtown Wichita Executive Director Heather Schroeder tells the Business Journal the largest want by residents is for activating the river. She says that means more activity on the banks of the Arkansas for housing, transportation, history, culture, green space, and more. The final Downtown Action Plan is expected to be presented by Downtown Wichita to the City Council and County Commission in early October. And before their plan was approved by the Park City Council on Tuesday, developers for the $519 million Champtown project told council members that filling more than 250,000 square feet of retail, restaurant, and entertainment had been secured in varying forms of commitment. Future tenants weren't named, but developer Ryan Mills said the project is warranted, wanted, and needed in the city of Park City. There's no firm date for the start of construction, as the wait is on for the Kansas Department of Commerce to approve $145 million in STAR bonds that developers have requested. The bonds would save 28% of project costs. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Seminoff.
What's the big Labor Day weekend, Kirk?
You know, we made a head up to Lawrence to see the kid. Okay. And then we talked about going to see the Royals and Tigers tomorrow night, but okay. I don't know.
You never know. You never know.
We plan out all by year now that she's an adult and doing the adult thing.
Exactly. Hey, remember the TV show Too Close for Comfort with Ted Knight?
Yes.
Oh, Monroe.
Yeah, that one. And he had a, you know, two very photogenic daughters, a blonde and a brunette. Well, the brunette is actress Deborah Van Valkenburg, and it's her birthday. She's 73 today.
Oh, another thing that makes me think I'm really old.
Yeah,
because so, she was so young in that show.
I know. Now she's 73.
Monroe.
Yeah. Too close for comfort.
Do you remember? Do you remember when the city went haywire back when Ted Knight wore the Wichita State sweatshirt?
Oh yeah. Oh, good stuff. Hey, thanks, Kirk. That is editor Kirk Siminoff from the Wichita Business Journal every weekday with Steve and Ted. Hey, thanks for listening. Have a great Labor Day weekend. Thank you, John Whitmer.
Thank you, sir.
For being on Steve and Ted in the Morning, 13:30 KNSS Wichita.